is London Calling. Here is the last news bulletin for today. The time through which we are now passing is of exceptional character.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 6 of the Full Reptile Radio. I think it's 6 anyway. I was looking at the numbers of the day, and I think I got the last one wrong at 5. So we're just sticking with it.
I think it's number 1 every time. We just keep starting again. Number 1.
Well, I was listening to, so obviously Joe Rogan's got all of his numbered, and then the Fight Disciples number theirs. They're up into like the 200s and stuff.
Show off.
I've already lost track, and we're 5 in.
5. Yeah. But do we need to talk about how many we've recorded and not recorded?
How many mistakes we've made? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I suppose you do have to turn a microphone on when you're sitting talking for 2 hours in a kitchen, and then you go, that's not recorded a thing.
Yeah, and we've just got the fan of your laptop just whirring.
Yeah, it did sound like we're on a Boeing.
Yeah. You can hear it now because you've got the headphones on now, so.
Is it kicking up?
No, can you hear it?
I can't hear anything.
You're the sound check guy today, so. Basically, we're standing in the kitchen at HQ, and it's me and Owen, and we've just been fulfilling some orders for Full Reptile Collective. Loads of stuff ordered, loads of t-shirts, loads of coffee, and we've got loads of stuff being delivered today as well. Loads of new stock. We've got now jeans and spoons and
stuff that you want to steal.
Yeah. We'll just keep adding stuff to the socials anyway, so make sure you check that out. But we're going to go through this weekend's fight card today, and there's a lot of fun fights on it. The main event is obviously the show stealer, but I reckon we should do it this way. I think I'll pick a fight and talk about it a bit, and then if you got something you want to add or whatever, then we'll go that way, and then you can do the same, and we'll just go back and forth until we get to the main event.
Like Todd Trumps.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
No worries. Okay. Who's having the main? Or should we just share that at the
end? We'll just chat about that at the end. Okay. So I'm gonna start off with the first one. So Rani Yahya against Luke Sanders, and the quick synopsis of that is you've got Rani Yahya, who's an amazing jiu-jitsu player, against Luke Sanders, who's a short, stocky, powerful wrestler who's got good boxing. So that's going to be a case of Luke Sanders trying to keep the fight standing, I would think, and Rani Yahya trying to stay away from the fast combinations of Luke Sanders.
What a name.
Into it, yeah.
Old school name, but what a name. Yeah. It's like Eve Levine, it's a roller. Oh, Rani Yahya.
Yeah, it
is.
Is
that when your kids are mad?
But then you see, you put a Brazilian spin on it and it becomes honey. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't say to my kids, why are you having a honey Yahya? It's not quite the same. You're going to think it's a weird drink.
Okay, Drew Dober, John Tuck. That's going to be a wicked one. So John Tuck's just beaten Takanori Gomi, and Dober's coming off that mad fight against Frank Camacho, who always seems to be in a war. I love both of these guys.
It's pretty much rock and sock 'em.
Yeah, it is. Joanne Calderwood, I'm glad to see her.
I love JoJo.
Yeah, I'm glad to see her at flyweight as well. I think she's going to be better in that weight class. All right, go on then. So pick a fight. Which one do you want to talk about?
Okay, I'm going to jump to Ellenberg. I'm not going to mention Mickey Gall, Jorge Sullivan, Georgie.
No,
I'm not convinced it's a gatekeeper.
No,
I think Mickey Gall might choke him out.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, Georgie's he's got a lot of fights, and Mickey Gall's still learning.
Yeah, I'm not putting him out of it. It's just
he is coming off a couple of losses though.
Yeah. And Mickey's proving himself, isn't he? I want to jump to Jake Ellenberger.
Yep.
Just looking at his record.
Yeah, we were just talking about this, weren't we? I've got his record pulled up here.
He's literally had the hardest. You know when you play Street Fighter?
Yeah.
And you'd start and it'd just go, Japan, be Ryu. And you're like, oh, all right, we're fighting Ryu straight away. Okay. And it's like he's had all the top guys and then he's almost done a Bisping where he's just climbing, and then just random just knocked him clean off.
Yeah.
But the finishes he's had have been insane. So, I mean, yeah. I know that he was screaming for his job after his three losses, and fair play to the UFC bringing him back in.
Yeah, this is a rough one though. So this is amazing. So he's lost his last three. He beat Matt Brown before that. Then he lost two. Then he beat Koscheck before that. Then he lost three. But then if you look at the names that he's lost to, so it goes: Rory McDonald, Robbie Lawler, Kelvin Gastelum, beat Koscheck, Wonderboy, Safadine, beat Matt Brown, Masvidal, Perry, Ben Saunders.
So pretty much all champs. Just top end. All champs.
I mean, this last streak of three, they're all guys that are all, you know, perennial contenders. I mean, Ben Saunders, I've always thought he's underrated. He's massive for the weight class. He's got great jiu-jitsu. Real awkward striker with great knees, as we know.
Is that the Killer Bee?
That's the Killer Bee.
Killer
Bee. Ben Saunders. And then, Mike Perry, we all love watching Mike Perry, and that was a disgusting elbow.
Yeah, filth.
And then Masvidal's just, he's just a great scrapper, isn't he? He's, you know,
but
when you say rough run.
You got Safadine. Safadine was a champ. Safadine was looking good in Strikeforce.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, all the top ones, Rory McDonald, you're looking at top end fighters all the time. So I'm really excited to look. But Barbarina's looked good, man. He upset the Northcutt train.
I always want to sing Beach Boys when I hear his name.
Bar, bar, bar.
That's the one, yeah.
I don't know what you're saying.
It was a struggle when we were commentating on him because as Johnny G's was talking about him on his walkout, I was singing bar, 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 Barbarina. Just, yeah.
Yeah, that's when it's a case. Did I say that out loud? I'm thinking out loud again.
Oh, that happens all the time when I'm commentating. Yeah. Did I say that? No, I couldn't. I'll get a tweet about that if I did say it.
You do know that you just said Mustang Sally. I did not know. But he's, I mean, to be fair, he came in, upset Sage. Sage said that he had, was it tonsillitis?
Something like that.
I forgot
that.
His homework. Something wasn't good. I mean, Colby's not, that's not a shame.
He's the spoiler though, isn't he? I remember his fight against Wally Alvarez as well. It just kind of, it looks like an unfair fight.
Yeah.
When Wally Alvarez was walking into the octagon and, I mean, I can't remember who was commentating, but they were talking him up about how good he is, and he is good. And then, you know, panned over to Brian Barbarina in the corner, just kind of looking a little bit kind of skinny fat with a big beard. And
yeah.
It was like, oh, this looks like it's going to be rough. But he's just got that toughness ace card, hasn't he? I like him. I think he's a fascinating character. I'd like him to show his personality a bit more because he's quite interesting. But
yeah, I wanted to hear him a bit more on the mic when he did upset the Sage Northcutt train.
Yeah.
Because he was a bit humble. And as much as I like to be respectful and all the rest of it, I do like a little bit of shit talking.
Of course. Yeah, that's a good one. What about the co-main? Michael Johnson, Andre Feely.
Well, this is it. So Michael Johnson, believe it, like his record at the minute, is it 5-1, 1-5? But the one he's beat was Dustin Poirier.
Yeah, and it was a knockout.
In emphatic fashion.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a case that he was like, oh yeah, just skimmed him. So Dustin Poirier is currently, he's knocking on the door.
Yeah, he's 1-5 in his last six. But again, you look at the guys he's fought. It's Dariush, Nate Diaz, Nurmagomedov, Gaethje, and Darren Elkins,
dude.
The damage.
I mean, let's be honest, you've been there.
Yeah.
You've fought champ, a heavyweight.
Champ, monster.
Monster heavyweight, and then I think I'll go for this.
Yeah.
What did you go for? Can't remember.
Yeah, don't remember. What happened?
Is my hair still orange? Should have been red.
That was the toxic orange, wasn't
problems,
it?
Yeah. Man, problems.
Yeah.
So I think it's one of those justified, because I mean it could have been either way. If he clips someone like he did Poirier,
right?
It's a different day, and he's the
he
one.
He was almost there with Nurmagomedov,
and we're
right?
talking about that. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, you look at Conor, and everyone's talking about it now. The last person to clip him was Johnson.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to it. Feely's just, I mean, he's got nothing to lose.
Yeah, right. And he's one of those unorthodox kind of. It's just the way he moves. He's awkward, isn't he? He's all elbows and knees. Well, as we would say in the UK, and I don't think this is an American term, it's like fighting a bag of spanners.
Yes.
Because he's all elbows and knees, you know what I mean? I had a training partner that was helping me out earlier in my career called T, Tamai Hardy.
Big T.
Remember T, Big
yeah,
T?
Yeah, I laced up his gloves once. He's about 17 foot tall.
Right, yeah. I think he was like 6'5", and he was
just like the
all bones. He does. Well, he's somewhere between the Predator and Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, I can live with
you know
that.
What I mean? He's like, especially when he had those little braids.
Oh, for
but
real.
But he was a great fighter. He was really awkward in the striking range and yeah, same kind of situation.
Too many limbs.
Yeah, like too Goro, many limbs.
A bit like you're fighting Goro.
No matter what you hit him with, you always came off worse. Yeah. Bruised chins, bruised feet, bruised knees.
I think with him, it's obviously he's got nothing to lose, but he's got everything to scream about.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the minute, as much as we know him, he beats Johnson. Johnson was the last person to beat Poirier, that puts you right up there. And
yeah.
I'm not saying MMA math work because we know it doesn't. And ultimately, his losses weren't massive losses. They were just holy shit fights. And he's always been in barn burners. I mean, him and Gaethje, insane.
Yeah, yeah.
One of my favourite fights. Literally, the thing is, I'm trying to convert people wherever I go. No matter where I go, I've always got a fight in my back pocket. It used to be UFC 80.
I remember you saying it. So,
UFC
go on,
Newcastle.
Tell me about this then. Let's take a brief interlude. So why UFC 80?
So I worked in a bank. Okay, internet bank, everyone's super boring. I was the only dude walking around in flip-flops. And essentially, I was stuck out because I had my tap-out gear. So there, before, I was
before
a tap-out wanker.
Out,
yeah.
Before tap, hashtag before tap-out was shit.
Yeah. So
I'm going to get in trouble for using
that. Yeah, for real. But I could spot a couple of guys off if they were wearing, and it was, you're wearing your colours, so that's all good. And literally, we used to get the UFCs because it was harder to get back in the day. So, like, off the record, we'd download them, and then I'd put them onto
off the record.
Off the record, bro. This doesn't count. But I had to fill out like a 20-page document to unlock the USB drive on my PC. There was a justification for it for work, but all it was literally someone would give me a USB stick and I could get it off mine onto theirs. That's all it was. So there I was chucking these fights out to people, and there was half a dozen. If you sat with me, you didn't have a choice. That was it. You either got series 1 to 9 of the Ultimate Fighter, watch that and like get on board, or don't talk to me. So the UFC 80 was the best because I
just pulled the card up. Mate, it was an amazing
ridiculous
card.
Well, I mean, I love jits because I'm small, so I like cuddling. But the problem is when people see cuddling, they're just like, they dismiss it instantly. So I would give it, and there's like, was there Kelly Taylor on there?
Oh,
Rock'em
Sock'em
Robots.
Yeah.
BJ and Joe Daddy.
You know the best thing about that whole card? So that BJ Penn Joe Stevenson one, I mean, just, if you've not seen the photos, Google it, because Stevenson was just a bloody mess. Right.
And was that the one where BJ licks his gloves?
I think it was, yeah, because he ran naked, choked him. Didn't he? Yeah. But the thing I loved about that is that I saw that Joe Stevenson photo be used in so many different memes.
Yeah.
Like, and I used it, so back in those days, I mean, what was that? 2008. So 2008. So that was just after I'd signed with just before I'd signed with the UFC. So around that same kind of time, I was arguing with people constantly in the media about, you know, the brutality of the sport and cockfighting this and, know, all that kind of stuff.
Here's a recent event.
Exactly. So then when UFC 80 happened, it was like, that was awesome. It was an amazing event. But then at the same time, the amount of times I saw that photo come up with the headline, is this necessary and brutality? It was just, it was look at the Doom Gonzaga co-main event. Marcus Davis, Jess Leodon. What a fight that was. Yeah. Jorge Rivera, Kendall Grove.
It was just perfect to hand out. You could give it to anyone, and there wasn't...
A lot of finishes as well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it went from that, and then there was the Vanderlei versus Chris Lieben.
Card was that?
I can't remember.
You know what? I'm really good at remembering useless information, but when it comes to numbers of UFC events...
It kills me. I used to know them off the top of my head, but now it's slowly deteriorating. Because there was a good Canada versus US at the military base.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. That had a good. I know. Not. Kostrick's not my favourite.
Is he not?
But he did turn a couple of people.
I thought he
off.
Was everybody's favourite.
Yeah, it's the perm dude. I'm scared of the perm.
I must have watched. So we were recording inside the Octagon yesterday for the Till Woodley fight. The amount of times we watched and rewatched and rewatched. Woodley knocking him out cold.
Is that when he's like half squatting?
Yes, and he just kind of sits him down.
It's
a beautiful knockout.
Mate.
You know the best thing about this job is that I have 8 camera angles of the fight. So I could say, I need that knockout 8 different times.
I need to see his jaw above his ear, just over here, please.
And the thing is, I've done it for my own fight as well. I mean, it's a bit twisted, I guess, but I broke down the Carlos Condit fight, and I did the same thing with that. We watched it from every angle. My favourite angle is camera 7. Camera 7's the aerial shot.
Dude.
Right, and I tell you why this is going to be important, is because I've been getting so much shit from people that are Khabib fanboys that are sulking because I said he's got bad footwork. Unfortunately, I mean, Khabib's great at many, many things.
But he's got Jason Voorhees footwork because he is literally, he's the horror film, I'm going to walk forward,
right,
and you're just going to hit me and do stuff, but then I'm going to take you down.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, like, Bobbin Manas you.
The thing is, if your opponent's moving in a circle and you follow them, the octagon's endless. Yeah. You'll follow them forever. You could do laps of the octagon all day. Khabib, unfortunately, just moves forward. That's his footwork. If somebody gave him a bit of cutting off, so he could really force people up against the fence, and I think he's going to need that against McGregor. Anyway, I went off my point. So the reason I brought that up is because in the next Inside the Octagon that we do for the McGregor-Khabib fight, I'm going to use that aerial shot to show people him basically walking in circles. It's such an inefficient way of fighting, and he could be so much better with just a little nugget of information. But I've had all kinds of stupid, ridiculous messages about how much I hate Khabib, and I'm like, someone said that I'm only saying that kind of thing because Conor's British, which I thought was quite interesting.
Don't tell
Conor. Oh man, it's ridiculous.
Could you imagine?
If Khabib was European, that was another good one that I got. Yeah, hard work, man, hard work. But I'm looking forward to using that camera angle because people will see what I mean.
it's so hard to say beforehand because it's always head and heart.
Right.
And the thing is, I love the amount of content I get from a Conor fight.
Yeah.
Purely because you've got days and days of weigh-ins, of behind the scenes embedded. And the thing is, when you just live for that, them little bits, it just gets you super pumped.
Mm-hmm.
And even with Aldo, when he binged Aldo in 13 seconds.
Yeah.
Heartbroken, don't get me wrong, because I love Aldo. But it was one of them where it was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it was the obsession that came clear. The obsession of when he was mimicking him.
Go on, mimicking him
in the changing room.
I'm not editing any of this.
Don't edit a thing, bro, because that's all me. But that's the obsession. And obviously, I know we're not going on to Conor, but I just can't wait. Because we know what's Khabib's plan. Simply this.
Yeah.
You never know with Conor. I mean, he's fought wrestlers. Eddie Alvarez.
Yeah.
Incredible wrestler.
Yeah.
Chad Mendes, incredible wrestler. It's just...
I can see it being a tougher version of the Mendes fight, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Khabib's got... He's a mauler, and I think he could do a lot of damage to McGregor in those early rounds if he can get him down.
Well, look at Mendes. Mendes had him down.
Yeah, exactly.
So the thing is, if I give Khabib 2 minutes of that top position, game over.
Yeah.
All day. But are you going to get him down? He's just, yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah, me too. I'm buzzing for that one.
Yeah.
But I am equally buzzing.
Yeah, we should.
For Gagey and Vic.
We always go off on so many different tangents. So
yeah, you look, it's not Lego or swimming pool.
Don't start talking about Lego.
No, that'll kill us.
Okay, main event then. Justin Gagey, James Vick.
Okay. I love it. I love both. I mean, James Vick was screaming for a fight after the Joe Duffy. And I think he deserved it. And I can't remember what podcast I was listening to, but he came across really well. And then he was saying about how many people are turning him down. And you watch his fights, and he's good. He's really, really good. And he's not really suffered many losses. But the thing is, with Gagey, I mean, I'm thinking that Vic's going to upset this. I think he's going to... He's taller. He's a bit broader. And I don't know. Gagey just loves to be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And
to a fault sometimes.
Completely.
A bit like Diego Sanchez.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for real. When he fought Melendez, and it's like, keep hitting me. And then he came at the end, he's like, I think I won.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I think you're right. And the other thing as well is, a little bit similar to Khabib, you know that Gaethje's moving forward.
Yeah.
He's moving forward. So you can start walking him onto stuff. You can start setting him up. And when you're out to, I mean, James is 6'3"
on his
Wikipedia page. Is that right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to call bullshit on Wikipedia because they don't always get it right. But he's got 6'3" on his Wikipedia page. Even if he's 6 foot, he's still got a big reach advantage on him. 76-inch reach, that's the same reach as me.
6'3", man, 155.
Right? So you've got to think that Gaethje's moving forward. Vic can walk him onto elbows and knees and you know, power punches left, right and centre because he's very smart. He's got good footwork.
He's hungry, man.
Right?
He's got something to prove. Gagey was already talking about retirement. I've got a couple left.
Yeah.
But they've always been like, I will watch him all day. Same as you were saying earlier about Mike Perry. You can have 20 losses. He's the new Phil Baroni.
For sure.
And I'll watch Phil Baroni. I don't know. I watch him pack T-shirts. You know what I mean? The guy's, he's exciting. So when it comes to Gagey, I think it did a massive favor when they did the embedded series ready for the Johnson fight because you got to know all about Gagey.
Mm-hmm.
But then, luckily, I listened to the podcast with James Vick, and it was cool. It was such an insight to his life, and I really, really I started following him after that. But if you haven't seen that, it's going to be a massive upset.
Yeah,
I think Gagey's just chin down, windmilling.
Uh huh. I'm just seeing Darce chokes, guillotines.
Yeah.
I'm seeing Gagey pushing forward and running into something, and you got to think with James Vick having such long arms,
he's dangerous everywhere.
Man. Oh man,
everywhere. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Where are you watching it?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Probably here.
You're in the dam.
I'll be in Amsterdam.
Boom.
Oh, that's a good time.
Yeah, for real. Well, I will be up to watch probably prelims, and then I'll fall asleep long enough to drop my phone on my face. For my wife to wake me up and go, darling, you've fallen asleep with the phone on your face. But luckily, what she will do for me is she'll open the app, kill the screen, because she knows if I found out a result beforehand, there's going to be murders. Oh, so I literally wake up and it's just someone's arm being raised or the Sherdog that I was looking at the night before on the toilet. Yeah, so she's a sweetheart. She turned
absolute
it off on
keeper.
Me.
Not the fact that you've already had two kids. The fact that she...
Oh, mate, we're locked in after 20 years straight, but she's good to me. She looks after me.
That's good. Mate. That's good. I have to stay... There's just... I mean, obviously, occasionally I can't make it through the night because I'm mad busy or during the week anyway, but I always try and watch him live. And there's a different kind of energy when you know it's happening in that moment.
When I'm watching it in the morning, there's always already someone sat in a hotel room somewhere like, fuck.
Yeah.
Because it's like playing a game. It's like playing that video game. And when, I don't know if you used to play Tony Hawk's. For me, Tony Hawk's, you didn't crash, didn't fall. You literally, every trick was strung together. So if I got to the point where I was 2 minutes into a run and I crashed, I could pause, down, restart within a split second. So Stacey, we'll be playing split screen. So we're just flying along and the next minute, pop, 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 done. She's like, what are you doing? I was like, sorry, I crashed doing my like no-handed fakie nosedive indie into a manual crazy shit. But she'd do the same. So it's just an understood thing. But you can't, as a fighter, when you sat in the hotel room afterwards, you haven't got that pause, down, reset. Let me just have one more go, because I promise I'll do it this time.
Yeah. Oh, man. The amount of times, like, after a loss, where I think to myself, God, if I could just go back 12 hours.
Yeah. Let me just
one time. If I could use one credit, just let me go back 12 hours.
Yeah, let me just keep my left hand there and right? stick my tongue out.
Exactly.
That's it.
Don't throw three left hooks in a row, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. There's my tip.
Because I wanted to ask you a few things, because obviously I get to see behind the curtain quite often, because, I mean, we talk mad shit for days. But there's times when I'm watching an event, and obviously as a big fan, I get to see certain things, I'm privileged that I get to know certain people, and I can ask them myself. But there's times when I see fights, and there'll be a person that's, after a round, they've been caught a couple of times, and they literally walk back to the wrong corner, well, the wrong side. I don't think you've ever done that.
No.
But how, like, surely, in the judge's eyes, it's like, oh, he won that round. Whoa, hold on. Listen, Cecil. Yeah. He doesn't know where he is.
Yeah.
Mr. People's putting a big cross in the other guy's name.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe the scoring doesn't end until they make it back to the corner.
Do you know what I mean? You know when they're sat down, it's like they're picking up. I mean, I know Faber was carried back after the Aldo leg kicks by Master Tong. Respect.
Right.
But at the same time, I think you lost that round, brother.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, so it's funny because there are two... That is one of the things that I think is hilarious. The other thing is when people get knocked out and they get up and they ask what happened.
Yeah.
Because, and I mean, this happened to me because I had this thought process so many times before the Condit fight that when I opened my eyes and I could see the lighting rig and a doctor.
Common sense prevails. Like,
it doesn't matter if you don't even know your name.
Yeah.
You know you didn't win a fight.
Yeah.
Because you never celebrate by lying on your back and having a doctor talk to you.
Unless you're Evan, Tanner and Tito and you're knocking yourselves out. The Saint, what's his name? Emerson.
Gray Rob Maynard. Emerson, yeah.
Let's just knock ourselves out.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And Matt Hughes, Carlos Newton.
Yeah, but that was for a belt.
Right. And you know what?
What so, happened? Here's this belt. Why?
That's it. So note to Ben Chiliberti, because I know you'll be listening. Next time we do a UFC connected show, that's the top five. That's the take five is double knockouts.
Double knockouts in the UFC. Just
yeah.
Evan Tanner, yeah, he's got to be in there, man.
Definitely. Yeah.
Let's fight a different weight class. No, don't do that, Evan.
Right.
It's not going to work to good things.
Oh, yeah. So absolutely. So if you get knocked out and you wake up and there's doctors there, you know. So at the end of a round, you should know what corner you're in. You're either in red or blue. If you're not sure, the tape's on your wrists. That'll let you know what corner you're in.
Yeah.
The next thing you've got to look for is the name of the arena, because what you'll notice is in the blue corner on one side, the red corner on the other, it's the name of the arena, but in the colour of the corner.
Yes.
Right? So...
So is this fighting one-on-one, 101?
Well, I feel like there are some things that you should meditate on as a fighter. Now, like, if you read the Book of the samurai always talk about, like, meditating on your own death, about, you know, being prepared for that moment. So if you meditate on getting rocked in a fight and surviving the round, and you meditate on getting
you
knocked
drop back
out,
into that instantly.
Right?
You're in that
you
position.
Prepare yourself for that moment.
Happy so, Gilmore's happy space.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go, exactly. Yeah. Perfect. It's a perfect analogy. I need to watch Happy Gilmore.
It'll work, yeah.
But like the TJ Dillashaw fight, the first one with Cody Garbrandt, where he got rocked at the end of the round. Like, in that moment, that happens to people sometimes. You know, you get caught right at the end of the round. You're not exactly sure what's going on. if you kind of rehearse those things, okay, tape on my gloves, colour of the corner,
yeah,
at least you'll look like you're conscious, you know? And you can kind of prepare for those
things.
Yeah,
because sometimes I've got chicken legs. And if you've got chicken legs, it's almost a case, we've all had a drink.
Right.
We all know how it feels.
I knocked out a dude once with a head kick. It was 13 seconds into the fight. He ran across the cage at me and I caught him the side of the head. And he just ran onto my foot. It was a very unfortunate one. We shook hands in the cage. We had a bit of a chat, all that kind of stuff. Went backstage. Obviously, he went back first because he was, you know, went to see the doctors and stuff. Went into his dressing room. By the time I'd finished my post-fight interview and got backstage, he was warming up again.
Oh, man.
He didn't even realise before.
But imagine if you did that embrace and been like, bro, fair play.
Yeah.
And then,
what are you doing here? We're fighting in a minute.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's like, can you remember on the Ultimate Fighter 9 when Andre beat Paul Kelly's brother with a, I think he kneed him. And in the midst of it all, he just kept saying to Andre, he's like, you kneed me in the top of the head. And he's like, no, my knee's like, no, you elbowed me in the top of the head. And Andre was like, ugh. And you know how nice he is. He's like, he couldn't say boo to a goose. So he's like, no, but I'm going to America. So see you later.
Yeah, this is where your encyclopedic brain makes me look silly because I have to keep clearing certain space on my hard drive to remember the nuances of the current fights. Yes, and I just remember
COD shit. It's like times table, and I know I've said before, I know the tune, I just don't know the words. Do you know what I mean? So I have to remember, it's a lot of old shit,
yeah,
to be fair, because nowadays there's that many events, there's that many people. I feel bad, but it's hard to try and clip onto everything because I only have a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously now we're doing this, it's even better because then you're actually seeing the people.
Yeah.
And like part of my work, I like to think, is watching the UFC. So
absolutely.
Happy days.
Absolutely.
Another one for you then, for fight side of things. What do you want to hear in a corner? Because let's be honest, we've had head movement.
Yeah.
And we've had, you're winning that, bro. Is this a rehearsed thing? Is it something that you're going to say to someone beforehand, like, I know Jimmy once said to you, what the fuck are you doing, bro?
Yeah.
Slap. And
save me that one.
Yeah, I'm going to need that.
Mm-hmm.
But I see a lot of, and I'm not saying that people walk around more and more crews, DC. I'm just saying that there's a lot of tag-alongs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And uh-huh. It's every boxing
Barnacles.
Film.
Barnacles.
Yeah. It's every boxing film ever made since before Rocky. That in the third episode of that series of films, they fall on hard times. And who's around? No one.
Right.
That's who. So, to me, I don't know if you want to be rehearsing that side of things. Like, it's okay, champ. You're good, champ. But, like, you need to be told, yo, you fucking lost that, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this has got to be a finish or nothing.
For sure. I mean, it does depend on the fighter. There are some fighters that they're so heavily based in self-belief that even if they did lose a round, I mean, the reality is if they lost a round big, you don't even need to tell them. If they lost the round and it was close, then you make a judgment call based on what fighter you've got sitting in front of you. I would always want to know. There were some times when I would know that I was losing a round and the point was to make it into the second round so then I could start pressuring. So it depends on the fighter. Like sometimes, like you'll see Colin Herron talking to Darren Till in the corner and they're having a conversation. They took like in the Wonderboy fight between rounds, he was talking about Wonderboy.
Yeah, he doesn't like that, does
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's very quick at moving back and that kind of stuff. Like sometimes you'll have one of those fighters. Other times you'll have a person that's so based in confidence that you can't tell, like, I mean, well, are we talking about Darren Till? Tyron Woodley, for example. Like, it would be, I don't know how Tyron Woodley would take it if you sat him down in the corner and you were like, dude, that was a terrible round. You've got to start pushing. Because he's very much based in self-belief and also in the fact that he's got that one-punch knockout power.
And I think that's come more and more since, because the Strikeforce days, that wasn't, don't get me wrong, Woodley's good.
Yeah.
But when you look when he fought Paulie,
man,
when he fought all these other guys, it was
first five fights were submissions.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. When he spooned Koscheck for me, that was nice, and that gave us a bit. But there's a lot of, other than the Robbie Lawler, a lot of his highlights are not in Reebok shorts.
Uh-huh.
And I know that's a fucking stupid thing to say, but
that's a good point.
When I look at a lot of things and they're playing someone's highlight reel, like Glover Teixeira is a good one. There's a lot of highlights pre Reebok.
Mm-hmm.
Now Reebok's been there for a long time, dude. It's not like it's a year, 2 years. It's been a few years now. So when you're watching and you're seeing some of these older dudes, present company accepted, that they're not, they've not got highlight reels in Reebok.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point. I'd not thought about that, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like when you see highlight reels and someone's, it doesn't say UFC on the gloves. We've got problems. Do you know what yeah. I mean? Because I don't know when that yeah. was. It was UFC 30 something, I think it came yeah, in.
Something like that.
That's some trivia for you. Isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. Yeah. It's like
we should run a contest or something.
Yeah. What are the four ghosts in Pac-Man called? And
I couldn't even tell you one of them.
Inky.
What we need to do...
I'm not going to tell you them all because it's being recorded.
Oh, that's it. So, we've talked about this. So something that we want to start doing every now and then is we're going to... So we're making t-shirts all the time.
That's what we're
printing stuff. You've got one of the nice new designs, the medallion design at the moment, which looks wicked.
I am. And you've coined a phrase. So that's not... Because I keep calling it round.
Yeah. it's round. I mean, you're on the money.
Yeah, but it's. But I'd like to think it's a medallion one day.
It does look like a medallion. It's beautiful. So we've got those shirts coming out and we've been working on them. But we've been talking about like maybe the first Monday of every month, we're going to play like an old school video game and then develop a t-shirt design from it.
Definitely.
So earlier you mentioned, what was the game you mentioned earlier? Tony Hawk's. I never played that.
Oh, really?
So what we should do is we should find games that you played that I never did and you can corner me.
Okay.
And then we should find games. Yeah, because there probably aren't any games.
I don't know if I can
that...
play well with others. You're very competitive. Listen.
Yeah. I just get absolutely slayed at Mario Kart by Lacey. She's
See, I've got a SNES because there's no other Mario Kart. Okay. I'm not messing around with any of the new stuff. No. N64, none of that is SNES. There's one level on SNES, that's it.
Right.
So yeah.
Super Nintendo, my goodness.
GoldenEye's a bit of a heartbreaker because you try and play it now and it's not good, mate.
Is it really not?
Yeah, it's a bit of a pill to swallow. But
That's disappointing.
Yeah, there's better stuff.
I have such good memories of it.
Well, the thing is, it was a CRT telly, so it was curved, whereas now it's on this flat screen plasma 1080p, and honestly, I would never say that GoldenEye's dog shit, but... Yeah, it dropped into that category when I tried to replay it. Yeah, it
so basically, good. You need an old TV as well.
Yes, and then we need a piece of cardboard that is cut so that you can't scream perv and I can't scream and no one can be odd job, which is pretty much
no
the
one can be odd job, yeah. No. And only beginners are Jaws.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Because you...
Golden gun.
He's peak Jaws. Yeah. He's going to be really easy to shoot.
He's not Bowser. Bowser on Mario Kart. Oh, you like the big monkey? You like the big crocodile. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. You drive that. So I think that's good. I think what we also want to do is get some feedback, some questions. Because to be fair, I love picking your brain. I know it's a crazy place to be in sometimes. But I want to give other people the opportunity. So we've obviously got the website. You can ask questions through the Full Reptile Radio, which has now got a new section, which you helped me remember how to code a website after I made it.
I didn't help you do anything. I just asked you to try and figure it out, and you were on the money. You did it. But
I've gone full tilt t-shirts recently. T-shirts and stamps. I do like a good rubber stamp.
Check out the Full Reptile Instagram, full_reptile.
There you go.
All about
and
rubber stamps.
On the invoice. I think the invoice is going to be collector items because they're embossed. They're stamped up.
Some of them get signed as well.
Yeah, there are cheeky little messages on there.
There are. But if some coffee bags get signed.
There you go. There's birthday cards. We sent a birthday card out.
We've not...
I can't remember the guy's name. I think it was Ian. Can't remember his surname. Happy birthday, Ian.
I tell you what we've not done is we've not shown anybody the massive rubber stamps yet.
They are something I don't like to talk about.
Got the measurement, what, centimetres instead of millimetres?
Yeah. So basically a coffee bag, the stamp that we use is 65mm wide.
Right.
So to be a bit geeky, everything is restrained by 65mm. It looks nice, works... For whatever reason, it didn't even go from mil to centimetre. It was like 27 centimetres. The lady, bless her, sent like a couple of emails. You sure? I was like, yeah, do it. I'm a boss. She sent them out and they were gi-massive. Ridiculous.
They're wicked.
Yeah, they're literally the width of a t-shirt.
We need to use them for something, though.
When someone orders a shit ton of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want 77 bags of coffee? One stamp. Yeah, the ink pad alone... cost more than my shoes.
We should have just filled one of your shoes with ink. We could have used that as the ink.
Oh, man, imagine.
Although, your shoe's not big enough, is it?
No, it doesn't reflect. Just to put it out there, it doesn't reflect. I filled a pram twice. But yeah.
So we've gone off on another tangent.
There you go.
We?
Well, I need to get you onto your Gimme Radio tangent. That's the one thing I've got to remember because I made the website for Full Reptile Radio, which is obviously this podcast.
Yeah.
People can keep in touch with you. But then you've landed the gig as a DJ.
Right.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
Rave on.
Ridiculous. I mean, I've got like 6 gig of music on my iPod, or so. No, I've got like 160 gig of music on my iPod.
It's not something I can help you with. You don't want Bob Marley remixing The Jewelers.
I thought it was nice yesterday. I saw my mum had posted on Instagram that she was having a nice afternoon sewing and listening to Dan Hardy's Full Reptile Radio on Gimme Radio. And I thought to myself, well, I'm not sure it's Pantera's
some
taste.
Fresh metal.
I think she was expecting some Fleetwood Mac, some Beatles.
While she's doing a Miss Tiggy Winkle.
Yeah, and she's got,
that's what you want. That's all you need. Yeah. That's all you need. So that's on the website now, so you can jump on. Obviously, you can see the link to this, which it plays through the website, or you can go on Spotify or iTunes. And then, or is it just iTunes at the minute, not Spotify?
No, it's on a few of them.
You'll work it out. Yeah. But then at the bottom, we've got a nice new piece of artwork for Gimme Radio. Shout out to them guys. And obviously, your mum can keep up listening to you while she's sewing and doing different tapestries.
Yeah, right. Yeah, nice. I don't know what kind of madness she's going to create while she's listening to that nonsense, but it's, yeah. So basically, we've got the podcast now, which is going to be more stuff like this, nonsense and tangents. And in fact, we need to circle back to the corner man question, because I've just thought of something else I need to address. So, okay, this is tangent number what, 17, I think?
It's not anything to do with Caleb Starnes, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay, that's cool.
It's to do with, so there are some corner men that stand out, John Crouch, Greg Jackson, standout, great corner men, Faraz Zahabi. The one thing they all have in common, they hand their bottle of water to the fighter.
Oh, because we've got fingers in the gloves.
Right. The whole thing where you feed in water to your fighter is because boxing gloves, because you can't handle the bottle. But with MMA gloves, you can grab a wrist, you can grab a bottle of Evian. Do you know what I mean?
True.
Or Monster or whatever it is that they use. So first thing, cut for all the corner men out there, hand the bottle of water to your fighter.
Yeah.
I mean, first and foremost, the amount of times I see a fighter half choking on water because it's being poured down their throat.
Do you think it's going to be that awkward fist bump, shake hand, hug thing? Because like, they're so used to being fed it that someone's going to hand it to them and they're going to look like they're trying to drink it.
I mean, there might be some fighters that like to be fed water, but I can do that myself.
I could name five.
I'm sure.
Top five fighters that like to be fed water.
Yeah. What was I watching the other day? A Thai boxing show out in Asia. And the weirdest thing, and I still can't figure out why the guy was doing it, but he was the corner man. He would kneel down, so his fighter was sat in the corner, it was in a ring, the fighter was sat in the corner, the guy crouched down in front of his fighter and put the fighter's legs on his legs to kind of drain the blood out.
Yeah.
It doesn't really work, but anyway. Took a mouthful of water and then just spat it all over him, like sprayed it like
full Triple H.
Like who is it that does it before the GSP before GSP he walks into the octagon, right? Before, so he stands, he goes up into the air. He did it all over his fighter, and then they cut to the other corner, and he was doing it as well.
Okay,
what's the logic in that?
Loom bands. it's just the latest fad. It's like slime. It'll be gone soon.
Your kids are really into slime, aren't they?
All over it, mate. Yeah, I've literally. I think it's ruined everything in the house. Literally, I'm full dad mode. Why have we got slime in the living room where there's carpet? And then they're taking it outside onto my block paving, and that's been stained by slime.
Oh.
And then when I kick off, it's like, Dad, God, shut up, Dad. It's squishy slime, cloud slime, something. She's got all the lingua down. She's not messing around. To be fair to her, she's a little entrepreneur, so she might be selling it soon.
Right, there we go. We'll have full reptile slime.
Baby snot. Yeah, not right. Good.
I think what else have we got to cover? Well, we've talked a bit about Full Reptile. We've got some more stuff coming out. We've just had the Nalgene's delivered today, which are absolute money.
Chocolate sex. We've got half. Yeah. There's quite a few new bits that we're kind of holding back because this is the cool kids club. I don't want to get to the point where. It's not put out there that this is stack it, I sell it cheap.
No.
I want people to want to be a part of this because of what it is. And obviously everything we do is, it's wicked. The bags though. The new bags.
They're not ready for the bags yet.
No, I don't think anyone's ready for the bags yet. Not at all. I've literally been in talks and we've got the nicest, it's like a barrel bag, but in ripstop nylon. Oh mate, it's
and we need a man bag for myself and for Dean Amersinger.
Yeah, well, and Dean and I've Adam. I've seen Dean rock a bag.
Oh, he can rock a bag.
He went full Joey and Friends.
Apart from that one that you photoshopped onto him.
Oh, the chest rig. Yeah, the Hello Kitty chest.
What was it? Kanye West was rocking one of them. Yes, Dean was just not into it. So you photoshopped a Hello Kitty one onto him.
Yeah, and a Kanye t-shirt.
Yeah,
this is money. It's a gift and a curse.
Right, exactly.
Can you just Photoshop my kid's head onto there? We weren't smiling at the right time. So yeah, there's loads of new stuff coming out, but obviously we're going to get to a point where we're going to drop it and be obviously vocal about it so you guys can know when it's up and coming. But then what else is there? I mean, there's new stuff as far
as... We've got another single, Origin, coming out. Yes. Another coffee, and we've got some spoons to go with that.
I'd love to hear everyone's feedback on the coffee. Oh, especially because, I mean, I'm a convert. I love it. But I was drinking House Blend for days, and then I just happened to take a bag of Debo with me to my in-laws' side of the world. And we sat and we drank it every day. And honestly, I can't go
money.
Back. Yeah, it's the best.
Absolutely. You were down at... So I missed this, unfortunately. I was unable to be there. But you went down to see Dean's mum the other day, didn't you? They had a little party. And
incredible.
So Dean's mum's Ethiopian, and they've got this tradition of roasting coffee beans. I'm so gutted I missed it, but the photos and video looks amazing. So we're going to get something together so you guys can see it. But go on, talk about it.
I've never felt so white. Like, one of my kids wanted white people food. I'll take you to McDonald's on the way. It was incredible. It was one of the... we were made to feel so welcome. We went there and we had a full coffee roasting ceremony. And it was just perfect. Everything. Dean's mum was an absolute sweetheart. Dean was the perfect host. Everyone had a wicked time. I got choked out by Terry Brazier's little boy. And when I say I got choked out by Terry Brazier's little boy, I literally...
Like, your first two lines of defence didn't work, did they? You were talking about it.
Yeah, I was going to shake him off. Like, I've got girls. So when they get a full naked sunk in, I can shake them off. Well, he was in.
Yeah.
And the problem is, when you're hand fighting like a 9-year-old or whatever he was, 7, yeah, it wasn't good.
And that kid's grappling with Terry Brazier fairly regularly as well.
Yeah, for days. So everyone had a good whooping off all the kids. But then, I mean, the thing is, if you've been brought up on Gold Blend, to see the ceremony in full, what you go through to get the most incredible taste. And literally, I walked away, and Dean's mum, to be fair, made ours first because we had a bit of a journey back. So I literally walked away with two. And there, it was only little, like your little shot glasses. It was only small. So as I turned to walk away, I've literally got the entire like party looking at me. Like when you walk away from Costco with two samples. is that some new chickpeas?
Both of them,
yeah,
right?
I'll take them. Yeah. Off I go. But so I walked past everyone, managed to like get my elbows in and just stood there. And it kept me awake the whole way home. But I said to Dean, I'm never going to taste that again. It's like a virgin experience because I can't get that again, even if we go up, because it'll be different this time. But yeah, incredible.
It's cool, right? Yeah. I need to check it out. I mean, we've done a lot of coffee testing, so we've been over to Outpost a few times, and Dean and Ollie and I have we've tasted loads and loads of beans, and the ones that we've settled on we love, and the guys at Outpost have been amazing to help us out with that. But the we have a little bit of a ceremony, don't we? Because you make it over couple of times a week, and we process orders and get stuff ready and that. And we always start the day with a brew, don't we? We get the Clever Dripper or the AeroPress out and make it up. And it's go and sit outside on the step. And
I try and ring you 10 minutes before I get here to say, please make sure
boil the kettle is boiled. Yeah, but it's a nice way to start the day. And I do like the ceremonial process of it. So we've got loads of videos coming up as well that we're going to show you guys different ways that we brew and different... wicked little supplements that we've got to add to the coffee, which I'm really excited about, but we can't talk about right now.
Yeah, not at the minute. But so, one of the things, I know we're asking for people to send in messages and stuff, it's just to touch on the fact that people have already been in contact and they are hitting me and Dan, and it's so nice to get the support. It's been brilliant because we're starting to talk to people and is that actually Dan? And it's like, yes, and me. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, we signed up Mr. Curmudgeon's book today, didn't we?
Oh, mate, he killed it. So we had it was one of them where a really proud moment for me because I was with family. And not to always talk about yourself, which I do all the time, but it was one of them where I was away from home with all my family, who were super supportive. And literally, I was just managing to read out this conversation that I'd had. And it wasn't just about Dan Hardy. Oh, the Outlaw? Yeah, but... me a bit.
Oh, he was really glad to talk to you as well, wasn't
he? Yeah, he didn't mind, which was nice. So, I mean, compliments will get him everywhere. He might have an extra couple of stickers in the pack, but you know, this is what we do for people.
This has been really fun. We've been doing this for, when do we go live? July 13th?
Yeah, something like that.
So the website's been going for a little while now, and it's been amazing, hasn't it? I mean, the amount of people that are supporting us, the orders we're getting, the feedback we're getting. Just thank you very much. We're really enjoying this, and we're hoping it grows into something really cool. And Dean's working on projects. Wad's working on projects. Ollie's working on projects.
Promotions,
yeah.
Ollie's smashing the promotion
game.
Oh,
yeah, he loves it. We've got loads and loads of stuff coming up, so it's really exciting. So, yeah, thanks for your support so far, and thanks for listening to this as well. And we're almost, I think we're about 45 minutes in, which is...
Oh, right, yeah, okay. Well, let me tell them one last thing about the site, that we are restocked, because one of the emails I've got a lot. Because me and you are medium black joggers.
Yes.
So we had a lot of samples.
Yes, we did.
I mean, a shit ton. So essentially, our suppliers ran out. Now, they're back in stock, and we're also medium grey zip-ups, which again, we have a range of samples. They've been out of stock for a while, but just to let everyone know, everything's pretty much in stock now.
Nice.
Large and medium grey zips and the medium black jogs.
Nice.
And there's more stuff coming.
Oh, yeah. Glasses and mugs and...
Oh, dude.
Yeah. Anyway.
Mate, there's an algae, and I'm just... Yeah, I'm pumped for that.
We'll get into that another time. All right, well, that was what episode? Are we sticking with episode six? We'll go with episode six.
No, six. Yeah, okay.
Six. We'll try and keep a track of these, but next week might be six as well.
Yeah, so. It's all good.
All right, thanks for listening.
Take it
this
easy.
Has been the Full Reptile Radio.
It can do something no other kind of lizard can do. It can run continuously for a very long time, and that enables it to become an endurance hunter, chasing down its prey.